Hey everyone, welcome to the Stories of Language Learners. I'm your host, Charles. Before starting this episode, I would like to share with you guys that this episode was supposed to be the last interview that I initially had planned for season 4, but I decided to record one extra interview. So, next week I will release a special episode with an extra interview. If you are a long-term listener of the podcast, you probably already know this guest, so I cannot wait to share this final interview with you guys. Okay, now let's talk about this week's episode. Today's guest is YouTuber and language learner Loretta. I'm so excited to finally release this episode. I love Loretta's work. Her YouTube channel is incredible. I highly recommend you guys to check out her channel. In there, you will find content related to language learning, content about Japan and the culture, and if you are interested in learning Japanese, you should definitely connect with her. You can find all the links on the show notes. Okay, here are some of the things we talk about in this episode: how to overcome feeling shy in a foreign language, the importance of repetition, why you should make an audio diary. Loretta shared with us her experience learning Japanese and living in Japan, learning language to connect with people, preparing in advance before having a conversation, finding people to practice with by using Meetup. I had so much fun talking with Loretta, and I'm 100% sure that you guys are gonna love this episode. Before getting to the interview with Loretta, let's hear a message from another listener. As some of you may know, on season 4, I launched a new segment on the show. This segment is for you, the listener. If you would like to participate in the podcast, this space is for you. I want you guys to share your voice and your message. So, if you are interested in participating, feel free to send me a message on social media, okay? Today's listener is Alina. I connect with Alina on Telegram. She is a member of our community there. I remember that one day I was chatting with Alina on Telegram and I was sharing with her some information about the listener segment, and then she told me that she was on vacation, and she sent me a beautiful picture of the place she was in, which was the Bulgarian Black Sea. It looked like the paradise. Anyway, Alina, thank you so much for taking time out of your vacation to record the audio and participating on the podcast. I really appreciate it.
Hello everyone, I am Alina and I am from Romania. I became a listener of podcasts less than 2 years ago, and since then I have been searching for good podcasts, especially those related to learning languages. And I can say that this podcast is one of my favorites. Every episode brings so much value that it is difficult to say that I have a favorite one. I think every new episode becomes my favorite. I love listening about everyone's journey with the process of learning a language, how it shaped their personalities and changed them in one way or another. Listening to others' experiences has helped me understand my learning process better, that this journey is not one that you should take alone. When you listen to other successful stories, it gives you the confidence that you can do it yourself, and you can. I am a language learner myself. It can get challenging, but it is possible to learn a language. To succeed and make sure you don't get lost on the way, I recommend you surround yourself with people who have the same goals. Join communities, make friends, listen to these podcasts for motivation and tips, incorporate a language in your daily life, and you will learn your target language without noticing and without seeing it as a chore. Thank you, Chalice, for doing such a great job with this podcast. Thank you for all the opportunities you provide and for the community that you have created, so we can connect with great people from around the world. Keep up the great work.
Learning a new language changed my life, and I'm sure that it can change yours too. One of my main goals with this podcast is to share amazing and inspiring stories from other learners, so we all can stay motivated and get inspired over and over again. I hear on a daily basis how much you guys love and appreciate the show. So now you can support the work I've been doing with this podcast by becoming a member on Patreon. All the financial support there will go to the podcast and our community. Also, by becoming a member on Patreon, you'll get extra content. The link to join us on Patreon is in the show notes. Thank you guys so much. I really appreciate your support. Hey everyone, welcome to the Stories of Language Learners. Today, I'm so thrilled to have Loretta on the show. Hi Loretta, thank you so much for being here. How are you?
Thank you for having me. I'm good. It's technically rainy season in Japan, but this week it's very hot and sunny. So kind of summer, happy feeling over here.
Amazing. Where I am at right now, it's very cold. As you can see, I'm wearing a lot of clothes.
Yeah, we're in opposite mode.
But I don't know, I love winter. Do you like winter?
I love winter. In the cold, you can always put on more clothes. But like summer, there's nothing you can do if you're hot. It's just end of story.
Yes.
I love snow.
Okay, so would you please introduce yourself?
Yeah. So hi, my name is Loretta. I am a YouTuber and a language nerd originally from America. And I speak English and Japanese. And for now, I'll just say that. And yeah.
Amazing. Okay, just a little bit of background story how we ended up in this call. So first of all, I'm so thrilled that you are here. And I told you because I've been watching so many of your videos on YouTube.
Thank you.
And I truly love the work that you are doing. I love the way that you edit your videos, the way that you explore Japan and the culture. And I am attempting to learn Japanese. I have no idea what
I am. Oh, good luck.
Thank you. But nowadays I have so much more appreciation for people who take the courage to learn Japanese. I mean, any foreign language, but especially Japanese, because
it's a little crazy, right?
Yes, the writing system is like, wow, it's so impressive. I don't know.
You have to go to the gym just to have a strong hand so you can do all the characters.
Yes. And okay, last year, I think at the end of December last year, I decided to try to move on to another language because I know Portuguese, which is my native language, and also English. And I always have been so fascinated by the culture of Japan. There's something very special. I really love it. And when I was...
It's kind of magical.
Yes. And when I was a teenager, I used to watch a lot of anime. I was like obsessed. I watched so many anime. And then as I got older, I didn't have much time to watch things because I had to work. And I completely stopped watching anime. But last year, since I decided to try to attempt to learn Japanese, I decided to why not start watching anime again. So this is the first thing that I start doing, and this is the way that I'm using to learn. And also, now that I finished watching the anime that I was watching, I decided to go to YouTube. And guess what? The algorithm of YouTube blessed me with your channel, and I started to watch because there are so many resources on your channel for people
who
are Japanese. And as I mentioned already, but you go to places that I don't see too many people going, like you go to the countryside, you talk with strangers, you explore the culture, the food, you interview like the owners of the business. Yeah. So amazing to watch. I really love it.
Yeah. And that's the fun part for me, because like I learned Japanese first for anime. But then I had an exchange student from Hiroshima. She came to my high school and we were in marching band together. And I was so like obsessed, like we were such good friends, but she left after 1 year. And this was like, this will reveal my age, but this was 20 years ago. So there was no like easy way to keep in contact except for really like, what's it called? Like handwritten letters or postcards. So I was like, okay, now I have to actually learn this language if I want to actually ever talk to her again. And ever since then, no matter what my goal has has always been to talk to people, because like, I don't want to learn Japanese to look at four office walls or to, you know, only, I mean, I love eating food, but not just eating food. Like if I can eat food with people or go to a house party or meet some old lady and hear her stories, like that feels like magic when you learned a little bit of language and then suddenly like it's real and you're learning these experiences you never had before. Like that's so exciting to me. So yeah, I'm really nerdy about like going out as far as I can to meet people.
Yes, that's amazing. And this is like, I think should be the goal of every language learner, is to mm-hmm. connect and communicate with other people. And yeah. I felt that when I started to understand and when I started to be able to communicate using English, I felt that the experiences that I had, they are so remarkable. I would right. never be able to connect with other people from other country without English, because English nowadays is like the international language. So it's yeah. so cool to be able to talk with someone else from the other side of the world.
Yeah.
Like you right now, you are, for you, like morning, and for me, it's night. So you are 12 hours ahead of me.
Yeah, we're so, really opposite.
uh-huh. So, okay, I was talking about a little bit of the background story. Mm. So guys, I found Loretta on YouTube and I decided to reach out to her. And she kindly agreed. Oh, something that I love that I think you mentioned. In one yeah. of your videos that you mentioned, you said that you are a shy person. And
yeah.
I can relate. And because I struggled a lot in my language learning journey because I'm a shy person. But how did you overcome like this shyness? And now you are at least the way that when I look at your videos, like you sound so natural approaching people and talking with them. Do you still get to approach people in the street?
That's a good question, because I don't know when it started changing, but like, it doesn't help to say the more you talk, the easier it gets. Like that's mm-hmm. always my answer, but that doesn't help people who are just shy. But I remember like even in English, like using the phone or just like talking in class, I was like, no, not me. But like recently, I don't know. It's, I think for a second or other language, it's just so rewarding that when you actually try, then people actually talk back to you. But I think that's why I started trying to use more humor and try to find like puns in Japanese, like these kind of wordplay, because even if you don't know what to say, if you can throw in like a joke or a wordplay, then suddenly it just becomes so much more relaxed. And for me, I know that for the first 10 years of studying Japanese, so it's been a long time, but the first 10 years I spent a lot of time writing down like mini scripts for myself. So if I knew I was going to go out to like a grocery store, I would look up how to say, how much is this, is it on sale, etc. Or if I was going out to like a tourist place, I would like try to look up the names of the places and say like, you know, like when was this made, et cetera, et cetera. So there's a certain amount where you can plan what you'll say. And if you can just get past that first, you know, that first part of the conversation, then it's a lot easier. So keeping like your phone with like a notepad with like phrases that you need everywhere you go, or even just online, if you know you're going to watch a certain YouTube video and you want to read the comments, like just look at Wikipedia page of that topic and then switch the language to Japanese or any language that you're learning, and start learning like the vocab words so that you can feel more comfortable. And I think that really helps if you have something like one phrase.
Yes, I love that. Basically preparing in advance, right?
Like a little bit, just a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yes, because okay, my journey like with English, I started learning English back in 2015, but I avoid for so long to start to speak because I had so many insecurities. I was so worried about what people would think about my pronunciation. And back in 2018, I decided to do something at the end of 2018 because I could understand, but I couldn't communicate.
Yeah.
So I decided to join communities on Meetup. And I found one community.
Oh, that's what I did too. Yeah.
You did that too?
Yeah, I did meetup groups. And when I was living in New York, I was like, I have to practice Japanese or else it's a waste. So I did meetup groups and then made so many friends that way.
Yes. And some people that I met on Meetup, they were interviewed in this podcast, which is crazy. And yes, I love talking about Meetup because, I mean, nowadays it's kind of hard because of the whole pandemic situation, but people are still meeting online.
Yeah.
But Meetup, it's a really amazing way that you can find people with the same purpose, people who like what you like, so you can talk and discuss about things that interest you and these other people. Meetup was a breakthrough for me, and I remember that I found a community, and then I talked with the founder of this community. And the founder of this community is a guy from the US, but this guy, he wasn't in every city, because this community is a community built by volunteers, and the city that I was intending to go, they didn't have nobody in there to help them with the meetings. And this guy, the founder of this community, said to me, Charles, would you like to become like a volunteer to help us with the meetings in there? And I said, what are you?
Not me.
Not me. I'm so unqualified. But
now you have to talk.
So I ended up accepting as a challenge to keep improving my English and to step out of my comfort zone, and sure enough, I improved a lot.
Seems like it worked.
Yes. So yes, I think that to overcome shyness, there is no other way. We need to get out of our comfort zone, and every time that we have to speak about the same things over and over again, these will come out of our mouth more easily.
It's muscle memory, because you know, it's, you can, if you read something or if you hear something, maybe you'll learn a new vocabulary, but you'll never be able to actually say it easily until you say it. So that's one of my teachers when I was learning Japanese. She told me that every time you learn a new word, repeat it immediately. So like this is for Japanese specifically, but if you put des at the end of it, it makes it like a sentence. And if you put desu ne, it's like, oh yeah. So if you learn a new word for like suitcase, like this is suitcase, but like suitcase, and you're like, ah, suitcase desu ne. Like just saying suitcase desu ne. Just repeat everything. It'll feel silly, but that means it'll become so much more easy to access the next time you need to talk about your suitcase at the airport or something. So just repeating is like instant repetition is really, really helpful.
Yes, I totally agree, because I've been repeating myself in this podcast over and over again, and sometimes I hope people are not annoyed. Sometimes there is no other way. I need to like express the same ideas or the same thoughts or my story. I cannot change my story, and every guest are different, and every guest they doesn't know me. So I need to say the same.
I have to hear your story.
And I hope you guys don't get annoyed with me, please. Okay, so let's explore your journey with Japanese. I'm curious. So could you share a little bit about your journey with Japanese when you start learning?
So this is one of the most common and hardest questions to answer that I get, like on YouTube, for example, because people, they'll ask, when did you start? How long did it take to be able to speak like you do? And there's also like a test system that people use for Japanese. It's called JLPT that people use to get like jobs and things like that. So I have right now the top level of it. And people said, how long did it take to get this? So my answer isn't helpful, because I've been learning Japanese now for 20 years formally. So my first course in a school was 20 years ago. So it's been a long, 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 long time. But my journey was kind of a mix of a lot of self-study. I had formal classes with real Japanese teachers. I also did study abroad. And then I did a lot of applied learning. So like I had research scholarships that didn't have to be about Japan or Japanese, but I used this kind of grant money to do it in Japan. So kind of doing things that happened to be with Japanese. So the very first step was kind of similar to you, Chelles. I started with anime, with Cardcaptor Sakura, and I was obsessed, but the extra episodes were so slow to come to America. So I would try to get the Japanese version, and I'd ask my parents to send me like DVD or like just some kind of like CD of the Japanese version from like ordering from abroad. And I kept thinking like, what is this language? It's so crazy. Even with like Pokemon cards, the rarest cards were still written in Japanese. I was like, what is this language? It's so weird. And I finally went to an import store in our neighborhood. I was very lucky. We had an import store with the like comic books from Japan and like music, but the owner was like, this is Japanese, duh, hello. And right at that time, my high school started Japanese, Chinese, and Korean classes. So you could do Spanish, French, American Sign Language, or these three Asian languages. And I was thinking, well, if I'm gonna catch them all, you know, Pokemon, then I'll have to learn some Japanese. And then, so that's when I started taking courses for about 3 years, and I wasn't that good at it. I liked it, but I wasn't that good at it. Having to memorize and write everything, it's not me. Like, that's just not my style. If you teach me through a song, through a dance, through people, through a night out at the bar, like, I'll learn so much. But if you say, like, here's a list, memorize it by Friday, I'll never learn it. And that's so hard for me. So it wasn't until the Japanese exchange student that I was talking about, she came 3 years into my program. And from that moment, I was like, oh, this is real. And I think a lot of people kind of have that moment where they realize when you actually meet someone who speaks the language, it's not just some like make-believe fake language on paper. It's actually something that people use to like eat food, fall in love, get in arguments, get married, get divorced, die, live. Like, this is actually a real thing. And that's when it became so more real and exciting to me. And then, you know, I went to college and kept learning. But after that, it was a lot of self-study. And I just was a complete nerd. And 20 years later, now I'm in Japan. You know, I have Japanese things around me.
That's amazing. Something that you mentioned that I think it's very interesting, because I went through a similar process. And this is something that I truly believe that is the key to learning anything, which is basically try to recognize the way that you learn new things, because we learn things in different ways. Yeah. And when I started learning English, I started going to like a traditional school, and I did a course for 1 year, and it was so boring. And I mean, it was like we would do like just doing exercises and learning grammar over and over again. And I'm not a big fan of books, and I don't want to read.
This is a lie. Oh. I don't like these. But you know, you do have to do some reading, and you do have to do like some work. But I think for Japanese, you can kind of skip over things and then come back later, because like, I don't know about other languages. So I learned a lot of other languages, but Japanese is the one that I'm really good at. And the one thing I know about Japanese is that you kind of only get good at like one or two things. So if there's reading, writing, speaking, listening, you kind of only get really good at one of them at first. And it's because it's just so much, and you have to decide, do you want to be able to speak with people, or do you want to be able to like write and or read? And the reading you need to get like jobs or to pass the tests, but the speaking is what you need to actually like enjoy your time, which will make you more excited to read more so that you can get jobs. But in schools, they only teach the reading aspect of it, because that's, well, obviously they teach all of it, but they focus on reading because that's the quickest way supposedly to pass exams and get jobs. But it's the most boring way for me to read textbooks. I love reading books, like actual Japanese books, manga, you know, comics, like that's great. Even watching anime with Japanese subtitles, or just American TV shows with Japanese subtitles, that's good reading. That's fun reading. But like a textbook? Mm. Oh, no.
Yes. So for example, I ended up dropping out the courses that I was doing. I'm grateful that I did that, because that was like the beginning of my journey.
Yeah.
With English, I learned a little bit, but I didn't get the results that I was expecting. Mm. And so I decided to do things that I enjoyed. And
like meetups?
Things that I liked the most. So this is like, I mean, this is the key, right? When you are doing things in a natural way, in a way that you enjoy doing, you are going to improve so much more faster.
I completely agree.
Yes. Okay, the next question is, what techniques, methods, and resources did you use to learn Japanese? I mean, you used a variety of different resources, but what advice would you give like to someone who is attempting to learn a new language in general that really helped you in this journey with Japanese?
So for Japanese specifically, you have to decide what you're trying to do first before you start learning, because there's just so much. There's just so much. So if you're thinking, I want to go like travel in Japan personally and just meet people and have fun, or if you're thinking, I want to work there and get a job and pass some test, or if you're thinking, there's some cute girl and I want to meet her, or some cute guy and I want to meet him, like, you know, just I want to make personal connections, you kind of have to separate it into three things. So either speaking, reading and writing, or like tourist, cool tourism. So if you're a tourist, I would say there, you know, like you said, there's so many writing systems in Japanese. There's the kanji that most people think of with all the crazy, like complicated characters. And then there's the hiragana, which is kind of like curvy letters that they use for grammar. And then katakana, which looks kind of like boxy letters. So if you are, for everyone, but specifically if you're trying to just travel personally, I would say only learn katakana for now, because that's what you're you're going to use to read menus. That's how you're going to find food and things. Everything else, you know, you can use like Google image. What is it called? It's like the Google scan thing. Mm-hmm. And it can read it for you. But katakana is really, really useful that way. And then after that, you just, I would say get like an italki teacher or meetup group if you can. Find an actual teacher and just start practicing. If you're going to do like a job route or you want to pass the test, then you need to start getting these textbooks and focusing on grammar. And, you know, probably that's where you'll pay the most money. If you're just trying to be a tourist or you're just trying to be, you know, find a friend, then you can honestly, you can do that for almost no money, maybe just for a teacher. But I would say like italki and, you know, find online resources because everything's just PDF, like Japanese textbook PDF, and something will come and just use that for free. But, and then the other one, if you're trying to meet actual people on the side, you'll learn to speak really quickly just by speaking to people. But I would say the same thing, find a free resource and then get a tutor on some like website like italki. So for the rest of the resources, there are like two textbooks everyone knows, Genki and Mina no Nihongo, that most people use. And outside of that, I would say if you're trying to do like a job focus, then these JLPT books, you have to find JLPT test books, just study those. But also, no matter what, I would say you have to start reading every day. If you want to learn Japanese really, really well, you have to start reading, not a textbook, but just reading something every day. It can be on Twitter. It can be like comment section on a favorite YouTube video. You know, do, what's your favorite hobby, Chalice?
Nowadays, I like to, well, I cannot leave my home. So I like to watch a lot of TV series, movies, and I listen to a lot of music as well.
Musicals. Okay, so let's say if you like movie reviews, so type movie review in like Wikipedia and switch the language to Japanese, and it'll tell you the word for it that people use, then copy paste that into YouTube and start watching just videos about that and read the comments and read about, and you know, start commenting with people. Just keep it what you're interested in, but start reading every day somehow, and then find a way to talk every day. Because I find most people, they study and study and study, and then they can't talk, and then they're really mad because they're like, why did I spend all this time? I can't talk. Yes. The repetition thing I was talking about, like repeating things, is really good, but also keeping an audio diary. I always say this, so this is my thing, I say too much, but you have to make an audio diary at least once a week where you just talk into microphone, and you're going to sound like a crazy person and you're going to hate it. But when you listen back, you're going to actually tell, oh, I wish I had this word, or, oh, I wish I had this thing. And then the next week when you do it again, you'll look up that word and you'll have it. And guess what? In 1 week, now you know how to talk about your local coffee shop menu, or you know how to say my dog did this crazy thing and now I can talk about it. But for every, you know, you can make small goals of things that you want to actually learn to do, and if you don't actually start speaking and hearing yourself, you're not going to be able to do it. So I talked about a lot. Yeah, so italki, another thing is rikai-chan, rikai-chan. It's kind of like a cheating thing to help you get used to reading. So if you're reading online, it'll, as you scroll, the words will pop up, and I think the dictionary is in many languages, it's not just English, so you can pick which languages it translates to. And then another thing, this is my friend's service, but Satori Reader. It's a reading app where it's like different stories that are native with sound, with speed, and different like flashcards. And you can just click on the words and it'll make flashcards. And then that'll go into like an Anki deck. And Anki is another, you know, app that I think a lot of people use, not just for Japanese, for like memorizing languages. So yeah, and Meetup starting next year.
Wow, so much good.
That's a lot. Sorry.
No. No problem. Thank you so much for sharing. I'm sure that people are going to love it. And I loved everything that you said because I mean, I'm so lost with my job. At some point, I was thinking about, I don't think that I'm going to continue to say that.
I'm done.
I'm just watching anime. But you know what? You shared so much good things that I took some notes here. And I'm going to take your advice for sure. So thank good you luck. So much for sharing.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay. So the next question. How has been your experience living in Japan?
Really good, because I speak. And I've seen a lot of people on like Twitter and other places where they're kind of having a hard time in Japan. And a lot of times people will say like, my favorite food's not here, or I can't make friends, or I have trouble getting a job. And all of that is language based. I found that I have so much more fun and so much more success when I speak and when I try to meet people. So, you know, like when you speak another language all day long, it's really tiring. Like sometimes you have a headache. sometimes you just want to like go to sleep for a whole day. Like it's actually really exhausting to speak in another language for like a whole day. And I know that for me, when I first moved here, I wanted to just sleep all the time. Like I'd have a full day and then I just want to go back to sleep. But it's, you have to use that time. Like obviously do sleep. But when you're done sleeping, you know, get up and try to force yourself to go talk to somebody. Like this year, this past 2 years has been so kind of like lonely and like down sometimes because, you know, I'm sitting here in small shoebox apartment in Japan and I'm not near my family. So I was like, why am I here? This is so stupid. Why am I here? And then I decided now I'm going to go out and I'm going to talk to the flower shop lady, or I'm going to talk to the sandwich stand guy, or the food truck person. I'll just go and walk by, bring Lily, my dog, and just talk to these people. And then I remembered like, oh, this is why I'm here, to talk to people. This is worth being here for. And so yeah, I think the more that you talk and can speak, the easier it is.
Yes, I couldn't agree more, because this whole experience of having a podcast and interviewing people has been, I mean, a little bit exhausting because I do all by myself while I have a full-time job. But
yeah,
I'm so blessed that I am able to do it and that I have the time. I love doing it and helping people and connecting with people using English. So I would never had the experience to talk with you if I didn't know English. So yeah, this is amazing. When you are able to use a language and connect with people, I think this makes everything so much more fun and incredible, right?
Yeah.
Yes, I would never get the chance to talk with so many amazing guests that I had in the past as well. And everything because I know English and because I started a podcast.
Yeah.
But it's so cool.
I'll have to learn some more Portuguese, honestly, so I can start meeting some new friends over on your side of the world. Yes. One of my best friends growing up was a Brazilian.
Oh,
she was
really?
She was in my Japanese class with me in high school. So
that's so
whenever
cool.
Whenever I meet people from Brazil, I'm like, Brazil, that's so cool. The food is great.
Yes. Have you ever been to Brazil?
No, not yet. And my friend is very mad.
So
she's like, why have you not come? So next time. But for now, I'll just keep thinking about it and ordering Brazilian food. There's a great Brazilian bar in my neighborhood here, actually. It's only standing bar, so maybe like two or three people. And it's a Brazilian woman and a Japanese woman. And they just like make different foods and stews. And you have to stand and just eat and have fun. And sometimes they play music so you can dance while you're eating. It's
that's a lot of fun. So yes, please someday come to Brazil. And if you come to the south of Brazil, the part that I'm living in, please come visit and hang out. We'd love to hang out with you and your family.
It'd be so much fun. Yeah. We'll do a special meetup with Lily.
Your dog. Your
of course.
Husband.
Awesome. They all ran away.
Okay, next question. In general, what are some of the common mistakes that you see people making when it comes to learning a new language?
Not speaking. That's it. Just never speaking. So, you know, speak as much as you can, but even if you're reading, read it out loud. If you're watching something, repeat what you hear. Just always use your mouth. Always use your mouth.
Yes, I totally agree, because I am 100% sure if I started to speak like in the beginning of my learning journey, I would have like a whole other level.
Mm-hmm.
I waited a lot to start speaking about this advice. Okay, next question. What opportunities and experiences learning a new language brought to you?
Good food, definitely really good food. And I think hearing new life stories from people, especially older people that I would have never heard from. Like in America, I grew up in a very specific community where people all kind of believe and act the same way. And just by learning new language, I had so many new ideas, so many new creative ways to think, and just, you know, just talking to more people.
Awesome. And you demonstrate this in your videos, right? Because like you visit cities and places and you... Okay, I'm curious.
Yeah.
Are you the only one doing everything, or do you have any
mostly
help?
If it's a really, really far place, then either my husband or like someone who helps me with videos is just standing around helping. But I do pretty much most everything. A lot of it's like camera on tripod, just kind of sitting somewhere. So I'll usually ask someone, can you just stand by the tripod so people don't, you know, bump into it or whatever. But yeah, it's mostly just me.
Wow, that's amazing. Okay, so What is the best advice you could give to someone who is learning a new language? It can be more than one.
Try to find as many free things as possible, because it's really easy to spend money and you'll get really frustrated. So, and you know, if it's like a real material that you should be paying for, then maybe ask like your parent for a gift or ask a friend for a present. But if it's something that is, try to find free things before you spend money. Go to libraries. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure about Brazil, but like where I'm from, libraries have so many of the same books for free and you can make photocopies. So libraries are good too.
Yes. Nowadays we are so blessed because we have basically the world in our fingertips, yeah. Right? We can find so many resources right now.
Yeah. Save your money and buy a sushi instead.
Uh-huh. Yes. Or buy a trip to another country, yeah, when the pandemic ends.
Yeah.
I would love to go to, I don't know, I have never been abroad to any country.
Oh, you have to come here.
Yes, I would love to go to Japan. That would be awesome. Oh, something that you mentioned before that I think it's really interesting. You mentioned that sometimes you cannot focus in everything, like writing, speaking, reading, listening.
Yeah.
So it's important, like maybe have a small goal and try to accomplish a small thing.
Small goals.
And so, yeah, so like already, while we were talking, I already was thinking about what I was going to do. So basically, I'm going to try to converse, to use the language, and to understand.
Yeah.
And also learn a little bit of katakana that I took some notes here if I travel. Right?
Yeah.
To understand a little bit.
Yeah, it'll help you a lot. And most words now are kind of becoming westernized anyways. So they're just becoming katakana anyways. So it's easier.
Awesome. Less kanji to learn.
Yeah, less kanji.
Okay, so now let's wrap it up with the rapid fire question segment. Okay. Back in season 2 of the podcast, I did an experiment where I called a lot of listeners, and most of them, they said to me, Charles, we would love to know a little bit about the guest, not just language learning stuff. So
okay.
I created this segment. Like, I have some weird questions that I'm gonna ask them.
Okay, so they don't have to be just Japanese. Okay.
Uh-huh. So you can answer super quick, but feel free to expand any of them. Okay.
Okay.
Number one, what is your favorite food?
Meat buns. Anything that you can hold in your hand that has some kind of bread with some protein inside. So any country will have like one-handed easy meal, whether it's like pork bun or a like sandwich or onigiri rice ball or a empanada, samosa, taco, like any one-handed meal is like my favorite.
Amazing. Which tourist place would you recommend for someone interested in visiting your country? Or it can be Japan as well.
So for my country, maybe I want to say New York, because that's where I was from. Not because New York is fancy, but because you can walk everywhere. I love that you can just walk to so many different places. Whereas like California or somewhere, you'll probably need a car or some kind of way to get around that way. I think New York is just so much more fun. And in Japan, you can walk pretty much everywhere. But I would say outside, I think everyone knows where to go in Japan, like Tokyo, Kyoto, etc. But I would say maybe adding in a place like Takayama in Gifu, where it's kind of like Kyoto, but better and more countryside and like more diverse foods and things like that. Or things like Hokkaido, where it's like a really different climate. So the food's all different and the ramen's really good. So yeah, the countryside. Mm. Yeah, countryside.
Everywhere. Okay, I have a dear friend of mine who is from Japan. And I also interviewed her on the podcast. Her name is Mike. And she lives in Kisenoma.
I'm Googling.
I don't know. I could be mispronouncing it, but I'm gonna put in the chat. Have you ever been to this place?
Ah!
Kisenoma.
Where is this? Oh, in Miyagi. This is in Miyagi Prefecture. It's so pretty up there. It's like just maybe 2 hours north of Tokyo, but it's on the ocean side. So it's got a lot of like really beautiful like mini islands, and the food is always really good. Oh, how pretty. Oh, how pretty.
Great.
Oh, it's pretty.
Uh-huh.
I've not been yet, but it's on my list.
And let me know, then I'm going to send a message to my friend. You guys can hang out.
Loretta's coming.
Yes. Please prepare some food.
Yeah.
Some good food. Okay. What is your favorite hobby?
right now, long walks with my dog and letting her take us new places.
Amazing.
And food trucks.
Awesome. Do you have a favorite movie or series, if yes, which one? Or which is the last movie or series you have watched?
My favorite movie ever is Lord of the Rings. I have all three right here. But my favorite, like probably in Japan, my favorite movie is called Tampopo. And it looks like an old like American Western movie. It's maybe 30, 40 years old or something. But it's like making fun of how people eat. And it's like a really cool, quirky way to see Japan through food.
Oh, that sounds really awesome.
It's really interesting. Yeah, it's not for kids.
Amazing. Okay, do you have a favorite song or band? If yes, which one? Or which is the last band or artist you listen to?
I've only listened to like really dark music recently. I feel like if you guys are into Japanese music, right now I'm really into a YouTube channel called First Take. And it's just a microphone like sitting there and the artists walk up and there's no cuts, no redo. They just sing the song and then like that's it. And it's usually YouTubers or like new people and they're all really, really, really good. So like Japanese music doesn't have a great reputation, but this First Take channel has really good like discovery for new artists. So yeah.
Awesome. Next one. Do you have a favorite book or author, if you have each one? Or which is the last book you read?
Ooh, it's another dark one again. The one that's sticking out to me right now is Revolutionary Road by, mm-hmm. I think it's by Richard Yates. I think it's Richard is his first name. This is the book that literally made me quit my job and move to Japan. So it's about like thinking you have to, like your life is meant for more than just what you know. And then the struggle of actually trying to go. But
yes, I feel like, I don't know, a lot of people, they avoid to take risks, right?
Yeah.
But something that I really like to think is that I have this mentality that it's never too late.
Yeah.
If you want to try something new, please try it. Because when you get older, maybe you are going to regret it.
And
if it didn't work, you can go back. But it's important to have a plan.
Yeah.
In case something happens.
Yeah, just go.
Awesome. Okay. Who has influenced your career or your language learning journey the most?
Anyone from Osaka that I have met, this western part of Japan. All of my teachers were from Osaka and they were very like very strict about like how much you learn. So yeah, I would say my teachers. I don't think I would have come this far if I didn't have teachers who like found scholarships for me or like introduced me to people. So definitely if you have a teacher, a language teacher, like treat them really well. Give them an apple.
Yes. I have like a whole admiration for teachers because it is a really hard job, right? And the work that they do can impact other people's lives, right?
Completely.
I love all the teachers out there.
Yeah.
If you are listening, I love you.
Love you.
And I interviewed so many amazing English teachers.
Oh my gosh.
So shout out to them. Awesome.
Shout out to teachers.
Next one. Could you share three phrases or expressions that you think people should know them? It can be in English or in Japanese. You can choose.
Okay, so I only thought of Japanese stuff. So awesome. My answer is very boring. One thing, always know how to introduce yourself in the foreign language. No matter what, that is the first thing you will always have to do. So just saying like, my name is whatever. So if in Japanese, just des, like looks like D-E-S, or it sounds like it. So, Loretta des.
What is this?
And just, you know, if you introduce yourself, if you're walking down the street and someone's looking at you weird or whatever, just say like, konnichiwa, Loretta desu, or like, you know, like, just put yourself out there first and they'll be so much nicer. And another word I would say is arigato. I think people in Brazil might think it sounds like something else, but arigato, always know how to say thank you in a language. And another random fact, this one's kind of like, this will be very interesting. I hope you're ready. This is shocking. One word that kind of got ruined in English is the word bukake. I don't know if you've ever heard this word. Your face, This is a word that has been ruined because in Japanese, it just means to have a lot of something. So when you go to food menus in restaurants and you get like udon noodles and you put like bukake noodles, it's just like so many toppings, like extra steak, extra chicken, extra onions, extra just like mountain pile of good food. So I want people to learn the new version of the real version of this word because it's the best way to get really good noodles.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for sharing. I didn't expect that I would learn how to like introduce myself in Japanese in this call. Now I know. Challenge this. That's awesome. You know what? It's so funny because just by being immersed in Japanese through anime, again, I can pick some sounds of the language. And yeah. I can know some words without reading the subtitles.
Yeah.
Which is really cool, the way that our brain works.
It's crazy up there. Yes. It's crazy.
Awesome. Okay, where can people find you online?
Okay, so I am all over the place. The main place is on YouTube, Kemishchan, which is kind of hard to spell. But if you write Loretta, Loretta, and Japan, I should pop up. And also, I am on Instagram. That's the easiest way to talk with me, actually. And on Twitter as well. But usually Instagram is the easiest. And that's KemushiJP. And also, on my YouTube channel, I recently have a lot of Portuguese subtitles, Brazilian Portuguese subtitles on my videos. So if I talk too fast, you can read along too. So they're not written by me, so they should be correct.
Yes, I saw a couple of videos of the title in Portuguese. That's so amazing.
And trying to add more. So.
That's awesome. Amazing. So guys, I'm gonna add all of these links in the show notes so you can connect with Loretta. So Loretta, thank you so much for being here. I can't take enough of your time. I had so much fun talking with you. Thanks. So take care and I'll see you around.
Yeah, I'll see you around. Bye-bye.
Hey guys, I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I did. If you can, please share the podcast with your friends. Subscribe to the show so you can get notified when I release new episodes. And feel free to leave a review. I would love to read it. Now I have a message for you. Remember this, you don't have to be alone when learning a new language. You can find awesome communities to be part of. The number one reason why I was able to level up my English is because I decided to get out of my comfort zone and connect with language learners from all around the globe. So, if you have been struggling to improve your speaking skills, and if you can't find someone else to have a conversation, I want to encourage you to participate in our online encounters and to join our global community on Telegram. Since June of 2020, I've been organizing English speaking sessions on Zoom for us to hang out. In there, you can meet new people, make new friends, and practice English while having fun. If you can't use Telegram, don't worry. I always announce our encounters on social media, and you can always DM me so I can send you the link to our meetings. So that's it. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you in the next episode.